All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here looking at a description, if you will, of the resurrection body, Roman numeral 7, page 8 of our notes. Point B, where we left off, we noted that is created out of the existing body. It is spiritual in nature, not totally unlike, if you will, the angelic body by all appearances. Angels can appear as a physical individual. So will the resurrection body, but we must first shed our mortal, contaminated body for the resurrection body to come into existence. That's the bottom line, if you will, 1 Corinthians 15:35 through 53, subpoint 1. In this vein, people recognized Jesus when he wanted them to, indicating the resurrection body has the ability to reflect an appearance not substantially altered from the temporal body. They may not recognize him, but then he can flex, I guess, if you will, his body to be recognizable. John 20, there, the disciples, they ultimately recognized him. Let's see what this is. Here, in this example is Mary. He first appeared to her. It appears there in verse 15 that she wasn't grasping who he was. But then when she calls out her name, verse 16, said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And then that's when he goes, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go let my brothers know that I'm still alive. So we've seen that. Also 21:12. As he appeared to the disciples again, as they're in their fishing mode, if you will, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast, after he told them which side of the boat to throw the net on. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. So, two, his resurrection body bore the marks that his physical body had borne. That was made clear with Thomas and his incident with Jesus recognizing him. We read that passage earlier. He showed them, the disciples, both his hands and his side to note the scars of crucifixion that stays with his resurrection humanity as a badge of honor. So see, while it is a spiritual body, it is real and can be tangible. Luke 24:30, again, Thomas touched him, so he manifests himself as being tangible. Luke 24:30, what that is. Here Christ again manifests himself here on the Emmaus Road. It came about when he had reclined the table with them. He took the bread and blessed and broke it, and he began giving it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So he had been speaking with them, etc. D, it is body capable of eating and drinking. It does not need nourishment in order to survive. You can enjoy your culinary likes, if you will, but it is not necessary for us to live. And in regards to his appearances and the disciples, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took and ate it before them. So,
You have that, Revelation 22, 1 and 2. The tree of life bearing the 12 kinds of fruit. Show me a river of the water of life, verse 1, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, and on the other side of the street was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit. So fruit, these are fruit trees, they'll be edible. During the millennium, obviously resurrection saints will be there, yielding this fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The leaves themselves have a direct impact by all indications of dealing with the existence of the STA from those believers who arrive in the eternal state in their human bodies from the millennium, as well as procreation is going to continue on after that. How all that works out, obviously we'll have to wait till we get there. More doctrine gives us more revelation. We just kind of have a glimpse into it, in the general pillars of how it's going to go down. So the body is capable of space travel, not needing atmosphere to breathe in order to survive. Those who, again, have gone on before us have already figured that out. That the soul doesn't need the body to survive. In of itself, and then we'll have a body itself that is not dependent upon oxygen, etc., for its own existence. Acts 1:9, you have the Christ's ascension. After he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Obviously, all this for effect. It can endure space travel. It can go from the earthly existence to the heavenly kingdom instantaneously, basically. So we're dealing with the dimensional realities here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Christ himself in resurrection descends from the third heaven to receive the church in the first heaven, and we'll ascend up to him. If it is incapable of tremendous speed, and again, as Jesus makes a trip from heaven to our upper atmosphere almost instantaneously, that's again the 1 Thessalonians passage there, 4:16 through 18 we read earlier. It is not subject to time, space, etc., but is capable of materializing and dematerializing at will. Again, if we saw the examples of Christ before the disciples in Luke chapter 24, here verses 31 verse 36. Age, it is not subject to decay, the aging process, disease, pain, or death. Again, back to 1 Corinthians 15, in that section, verses 42 through 43, we begin a mortal body, is raised with immortality, immune to death, etc. Verse 53, Revelation 20, verse 6. That one is where the first resurrection, the second resurrection has no power, second death has no power over those resurrected first. And this will be one that, until you're there, you probably won't really appreciate it. But probably one of the greatest boons in regards to existence, it'll be minus the sin nature. It'll be minus the STA, sinful trend of Adam, also known as the old sin nature. And again, we're through procreation created corruptly, the new body is incorrupt. Again, we read this 1 Corinthians 15, 43 through 44 in first sessions. And then out of that same passage, the individual nature of the resurrection body that each body, resurrection glory, excuse me, that each body will possess varies in magnitude based on spiritual growth and application in time. Just as there are differences regardless of manifestation and brightness of stars, the sun, the moon, etc. So we'll be among believers in recognition in regards to what they did with Bible doctrine and time versus what they didn't do. All right, Roman numeral 8. This brings us to the final section of the doctrine. We have some various observations and applications based on the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of mankind. So, A, the resurrection of Christ not only indicates God's stamp of approval on His person and work as portrayed through His humanity, it is the beginning of His exaltation as Lord and Christ. What He went through, He did not truly receive full recognition of being exalted for His accomplishments until that resurrection body was given to Him. Acts 2, 24 through 36. Read this earlier too. Peter here, God raising him up again, ending the agony of death in Old Testament passages, in terms of his resurrection being in the ground less than, if you will, in the ground, less than 72 hours. His flesh had not suffered decay. Again, I'm just highlighting what we've been through before. And he died, was resurrected, appeared to people in witness for a period of 40 days. Then he ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he sits in session. That's verse 34. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Verse 35, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So that began his exaltation. The words of commencement by the Father, today I have begotten you. Like being there for that. That would be cool. B, in Jesus' resurrection, we had the divine guarantee that all believers' sins have been effectively removed, and absolute righteousness, as plus R, is theirs by faith. Romans 4:25. He was delivered up because of our transgressions, and was raised because of our justification. Justification being a salvation term recognizing our equality established with God for fellowship through obtaining Christ's absolute righteousness through faith in Him. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, what we saw earlier again in this context. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. So, it's essential in regards to our very faith. C, is the believer's guarantee that they will receive a resurrection life versus a resurrection of judgment. Again, John 5, 24 through 29. We just again looked at those verses, at least in part. Christ has been given all authority as the Son of Man. There will be resurrection of those who did the good thing, that's faith in Christ, versus those who did the evil, that's remain in unbelief. And one resurrection body is designed to enjoy the eternal state, God's kingdom, in that capacity, with all of the accurtenants that may be associated with them in terms of SG3, positions of authority, prestige, etc., versus those who will be living in their domain of the lake of fire for all eternity. So D, again, therefore, his resurrection forms the basis for the believer's confidence in his or her own resurrection. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, as 12 through 19, which we've been through, all these in the doctrine. E, the fact of our future resurrection should encourage us to phase two production of divine good. Divine good. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, after the thesis of resurrection has been articulated by Paul in a very expansive way here in the chapter. At the end, he states, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Our works will be recognized. They will be rewarded appropriately. And those rewards under the doctrine of surpassing grace, phase 3, SG3, will be designed to embellish, to highlight, to exemplify, if you will, our very persons and our fidelity to God and His plan. When we went through Revelation, remembering the dealing with the whiteness of believers and the brightness of their appearances, that there will be believers, just as we saw in the Corinthians passage, who will shine brighter. You'll know them. You'll know the ones who are prize contenders. You'll see them. You'll see them on the way, coming down. But they'll stand out in their appearance. Then all the SG3 that's designed to, if you will, add to the details for you, the details of eternal life. You know, those things that makes life more fun for us. You know, in time we recognize that. The fun things, games or whatever, you know, things that we like to enjoy. Well, SG3 kind of fits in that capacity. So, F, the reality of resurrection provides comfort in our testing, including most serious of testing, death. We read that, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. We do not grieve as if without hope for those who have gone on before us. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear for the saints living during the period of Smyrna, during the heavy apostolic suffering under Nero in that era, and the church itself, the believers that actually were part of this local assembly were experiencing. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the wreath of life. A wreath being commensurate with representation of the prize. Here called the wreath of life. So, G, in resurrection, we have the promise of being united eternally with those we love who too are in Christ. Our separation is not permanent. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 and 17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them who have gone on before us in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Then H, finally here, resurrection in its fullest capacity of both life and judgment is the conclusive and the external evidence given and provided for all men that Jesus of Nazareth was exactly who He claimed to be.
John 5:18 and following. As he proclaimed himself to be God, equal with God. And for this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath in their eyes, he wasn't. They had become legalistic with it. But also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And then our closing verse, and again, we've read those verses. The following verses. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me shall live even if he dies. John 11:25. All right. Now we get back into the text.